So this is the title. I think I scared away some people already with my comments. Anyway, so this building was shown before by John. This is the same university, so we are from Szent István University. And beside me, Vince Lang is also in the room, and two of the contributors just couldn't come. So this is the content of the presentation. I will not talk too much about the structure and principles of the two systems because almost every year we had a presentation, so I will be very fast on that. I will talk a little bit about the differences of the characterization, the properties, the diagnostics, and the classification of salt-affected soils in WRB and soil taxonomy. And then I will tell a little bit about numerical approaches to evaluate the taxonomic relationships between soils and make some recommendations. So these are the two most commonly used systems, and today we heard the Canadian, and there are many other systems that are there, but these are the two most commonly used systems. Both of them are diagnostics-based, so they use the diagnostic horizons, properties, materials, but nomenclature, unfortunately, sometimes is very different. So for the same term, we have slightly or sometimes very different definitions and limits. There are differences in the structure and the principles. Soil taxonomy has six categorical levels and four are defined by the key. WRB has only two levels and only one is defined by the key. And soil taxonomy has 12 orders on the highest level and WRB has 32 reference groups on the highest level. And in WRB, the climatic information is not included directly, but there is information in an indirect way. So just a few words about the characterization of those soils. The presence of the soluble salts in both systems are mainly expressed by the salic horizon. Soil taxonomy has a much stronger definition for the salic horizon in terms of the electric conductivity and also in the thickness requirement. And still, it is not acknowledged. Soils with the salic horizons are not acknowledged on the highest level of the classification. They occur in suborders, in the aridic soil as a salic, and in lower level with the salic and the halic modifier. Again, in WRB, the salic horizon doesn't have the identical definition. It has less strong requirements, but most of those soils that are having the salic horizon belong to the Solonchaks, and some of them to the Solonets. And the salic, with further modifications, with the occurrence in depths, and the percent, and also the electric conductivity, we have the epi-endo hypo or hypersalic qualifiers. Here is an example. This soil has a salic horizon, calcic horizon, it has lithological discontinuity, it has aquic conditions, and in the WRB we distinguish glaic and stagnic color patterns, and of course it has reducing conditions part of the year. In soil taxonomy, this soil belonging to the weakly developed soils and not having the required diagnostics for other soil groups, it belongs to the inceptisols. It has the aquic moisture regime, the salic horizon, the calcic is not acknowledged in the final classification, so this soil is a typic hoplaquapt, and you can see the family information. In the WRB, because of the presence of the salic horizon, this soil belongs to the Solonchaks. The glaic and stagnic features are recognized, and the calcic horizon. So this is a Solonchak soil, and the rest of the information that is acknowledged by the qualifiers you can see there. The presence of exchangeable sodium and magnesium in both systems are acknowledged mostly by the presence of the natric horizon, and that huge definition of the natric horizon, fortunately, is almost identical, but I think in both systems is just overcomplicated. It has 1.5 pages for the definition. And in soil taxonomy, soils with a nitric horizon occur only on the grade group level with the nitric and the solic modifiers. In the WRB, if you have a nitric horizon, those soils belong to the Solognetz reference groups, and in other reference groups, if it's the criteria is not satisfied totally, but sodium is there, then you can have the sodic modifier, or if the depth requirement is not met, then the nitric qualifier. An example, here we have a soil with a molic horizon, nitric, calcic horizons, aquic conditions, and again, glaic color patterns, and of course, reduced conditions. In soil taxonomy, because of the molic horizon, it belongs to the molly soils. The aquic moisture regime on the suborder level, you include already your moisture regime, and the nitric comes only on the grade group level, so this would become a typical nitric wall. In WRB, because of the nitric, it's a Solognetz. Again, the glaic color patterns and the hydromorphic conditions are acknowledged. And the rest of the properties that are acknowledged in the classification, you can see. So this becomes a calcic molic glaic Solognetz, and also the high organic carbon content in great depths, and also the texture is acknowledged. Now, we believe that these soils are very similar to each other, and if they are mapped on a global level, is just, again, something similar what I mentioned with the coal soils. Salt-affected soils are perhaps becoming more important with desertification and with the dry climate. So if you have to have to prepare a map with a global coverage, then correlation is, of course, there. But if you do in a system like soil taxonomy, then these soils on a suborder level would belong to the molly soils, for example, the nitric ones. And if you prepare a map for the politicians in another system, they would belong to the Solognetz soils. So it's a kind of embarrassing. So we try to see how numerically you can evaluate the importance of certain properties and see how these soils are numerically or taxonomically related. So we applied some distant methods, and distant methods are dealing with similarities and dissimilarities. And Mike Bretney and his colleagues, Minasny, introduced already an attempt to calculate taxonomic distances and visualize them, and they applied it for WRB reference groups. And this method was later further developed with my graduate students. One of them is here, Vince Lang, and we used it for correlating soil units from different classification systems. And in this study that I'm going to show you now, 37 grade groups of the molly soils and 7 WRB groups were studied among the salt-affected soils. And now it is related to my working group task in the universal soil classification, because this summer we were concentrating on the mollics, and I'm also responsible for the salt-affected. So these two things are now coming together, and I will concentrate on the molly soils and the salt-affected molly soils within those and the salt-affected in WRB. So, some criteria, properties, or dominant identifiers that characterize these soils and are used usually in classification were selected. And simple Euclidean distance were calculated for those soils based on those selected properties, and we did two different approaches. One was a conceptual and the other was a centroid base that you will understand in a moment. So we created a huge matrix which included the 45 soil groups, including the WRB grade, the soil taxonomy grade groups and the WRB reference groups, and the 32 properties that we selected. You can see the 32 properties of dominant identifiers plus the 45 soil groups. When we did the conceptual calculation, we didn't work with real numbers, but we were assigning codes based on the likelihood of the presence of the property that we selected. and we used 5 codes. 0 was when the property cannot be present, 0.25 if it's unlikely, 0.5 when it may occur, 0.25 when it's very likely to occur, and 1 when it must occur. And it was very much related to the key. So it, of course, there was subjectivity, but we tried to follow the rules in the keys. And here is, of course, I cannot show you the huge matrix table. So this is only a very short part of the matrix table. Here you can see the soil groups. Here you can see the properties that we selected. And here is one example. For example, a natrach wall may have a full mollic, can have a mollic-like. It's very likely that it has an albic base saturation in the subsurface. Has to be blah, blah. So this is the way we worked. Now, the other approach was that we were using real numbers. We were using the NASIS database, and we were selecting profiles for those soil units that were just shown, the 45. And we calculated for each property the averages or the centroids, and we were calculating the taxonomic distances based on the centroid values. And here we use altogether more than 4,000 profiles from the NASIS database. And here you can see the distribution. I know you cannot read very well all the grade groups. This figure is just showing that there was a great variation in the number of profiles available for each soil group. And of course, most information was available for the agricultural soils. So here is again just a part of the huge matrix that we were working with. Here are the 37 dominant identifiers, and here are some examples. For example, the moist value within in the 0 to 18 centimeter for the natrach walls that we studied averaged at 2.5, or if you look at, for example, the clay increase is 1.6, or if you look at the sodium saturation, it's very high. So anyway, so these are the centroid values for all the soil units. Then we calculated the taxonomic distances. It was based on the Euclidean distance, which is calculated by the Pythagorean formula. And if you calculate the distances, the result is again a distance matrix, which is also a very big one. And since we were working with 45 units, so the 45 units has the distance to each other, so it's again a very huge matrix. And it's quite difficult to analyze. You can then make a kind of order for each of them. For example, for which one is the closest to the natrach walls. Here it is not in an order yet. It is just showing a small part of the big matrix I showed in the other slide. And from the 10 that you see here, you can only see that natrach walls are the closest to the natrach elbows and the furthest for the heparin doors. But you can make a simple table where you can show the first 4 or the first X units, which are the closest to the one that you are talking about. So when we did the concept-based calculations, in this table I put only those mollisols that are so-called salt-affected mollisols. So these are the natric mollisols. And if you see, almost in each case, the Szolonyec or Szolonczák are among the first 4 closest units. When we did the centroid-based, we had not exactly the same result, which means that the concept and the real values were not giving exactly the same result, but quite similar. But I have to tell that for some units, we didn't have a huge amount of data. For many, we had a lot of data, and we can trust the centroids very well. Now, it's still very difficult to evaluate or visualize the results, but then we were trying to visualize the results with the principal component analysis. This is a kind of multidimensional scaling which helps you to analyze and visualize distances between units. So just making it very short, you try to find axes in your full matrix table around which the points plotted, you have the best distribution in a multi-dimensional space. So the absolute distance stays the same, but with rotating the axes you can find around which you can plot them the best to visualize. What we see here, so these are all Mollisol grade groups and few WRB groups. And if you see, here is a cloud, and here is a cloud, and here are some soils, and here is another separate cloud. These that are here are all the ones with the matrix. Among them, we have the Solognette and the Solongiac actually here. And here what you see is very interesting. That was not part, it was not a target for our study, but you can see that the aquas are also kind of separating very well from the rest of the Mollisol grade group. So what we see that those salt-affected soils are kind of separated from the rest of the Mollisol grade groups. And actually, we did the whole calculation with including the climate data, and also we did it without it, without including the climate data. The only big difference what you will see between the two, that these two clouds will become one cloud, and then we looked at what is the difference between the two. These are the more moist grade groups. These are the drier grade groups. So when we excluded the climate, those groups came a little bit closer together, and some of the natric ones became kind of closer to each other as well. Now, the conclusion, it seems that the salt-affected Mollisol grade groups are much closer to each other taxonomically than to the other Mollisols, sometimes within their own suborders. They are closer to other suborders than to themselves, and they are very close taxonomically to the Solongiac and the Solognette WRB groups. So, and also, in many national classifications, the presence of soluble salts are considered on a very high level, and generally they are considered on the highest level of the classification. That's a kind of conclusion that in future systems, most probably in the universal soil classification as well, the presence of soluble soil should be considered on a higher level. And another conclusion is that taxonomic distance calculations seem to be a very good tool for a kind of numerical evaluation of taxonomic relationships between soil groups. And that's my final slide, to thank Philip Owens and John Hempel and Josh Reddy for consulting in soil taxonomy questions, and also to NRCS to provide very valuable data for the analysis. Thank you.
So we are pushing the next session, but is there one burning question that you can answer? Inspector
Harris? It's okay.
So I think we'll transition to the next group. I will ask the members of the working group.